church is something about Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Glory! Glory! Glory, Lord, Lord. You can see it again. Praise God. Isn't he good? All the time, God is good. I was reading the story and it brought tears to my eyes, and so I thought I would read it to y'all. If it makes you want to cry, it's okay, because sometimes stories do that, because, you know, they're just sometimes so unbelievably powerful. And so I got this one. I thought it would be great for homecoming. So like I said, if I get broke up along the way, just know it's just a very powerful story, okay? The guy was in the side road hitchhiking on a very, also we got Halloween, okay. The guy was on the side road hitchhiking on a very dark night and in the middle of a storm. The night was running on and no car went by. The storm was so strong that he could hardly see a few feet ahead of him. Suddenly, he saw a car coming toward him and it stopped. Without thinking about it, the guy got into the back seat, closed the door, and he realized that there was nobody behind the steering wheel. The car starts slowly. The guy looks at the road and sees a curb coming his way. Scared, he starts to pray, begging God for his life. It hasn't even come out of sight. When just before he hits the curb, a hand appears in the window and it moves the wheel. The guy, paralyzed in terror, watched how the hand appears every time right before a curb. Gathering his strength, the guy jumps out of the car and runs to the nearest town. Wet and in shock, he goes to a restaurant and starts telling everybody about this horrible experience he went through. A silence enveloped everyone when they realized the guy was serious. About a half an hour later, two guys walked into the same restaurant. They looked around the table from one to set, and one said to another, "Look, John, that's that dummy who got in the car while we were bushing him." I know, brought tears to my eyes the first time I heard it, too. God is so good! All the time. That's right. Amen. I want to welcome you to our 107th. 107. The church is older than that. There's a history. I want you to see it. I'm going to tell you about the history. Got your history. I'm not going to read all the history, read all of the seats, but this is the 107th celebrated every Christian church homecoming. Okay? Now, the history of the church is going to be in your bulletin, and so you can look at the history, just follow it up, and you see the history of this church. And also, there's a memory candle here. This memory candle is there for all those of us that have gone on to be with the Lord. Their names are listed on the back of the bulletin. So all those that are interested, there you go. And also, I want to thank y'all for coming. And I also want to give a big thanks to, is your rescue team here? Stand up. There. Talk to us.
You get them all. You can run, honey, but you can't hide.
That's right.
Woof. Amen.
Yeah, well, they do a good job in the church. The church supports them. They do a tremendous, tremendous work. And that works not always easy because he does training. He gets the people out there. And I think he picks the worst night, the coldest, wettest night to do this. And he gets them to bring out their own saran wrap, or tarp. And they have to build a fire. Part of their qualification is to build a fire. They have to eat out there in the middle of the woods, and they have to wrap up in that tarp and spend the night. And then he get back up in the morning and start searching again. And he usually has somebody hid, and they go to find them. So this isn't candy stripe stuff. This is the real deal. But that's what you need. It's not, if you've got a child missing or an elderly person missing or something going on, these are the guys that are called. They're on the sheriff's, top of the sheriff's list. These are the guys that get called, and they're absolutely awesome. Now, unless you have not watched the news lately, matter of fact, unless you have been hiding under a rock, if you haven't been paying attention to life at all, the last 3 weeks has been turbulent. It doesn't back down, it keeps growing. Just yesterday, down there, there's 5 warships. The United States warships are around in the Gulf up there, or the sea, and the United States Navy has been shooting down missiles that have been aimed at Israel, Tomahawk missiles and cruise missiles. They're all been that way. They've been shooting them down, and they're just all kinds of stuff are going on around now that Russia and China are planning on getting in it one way or the other, supposedly peacefully, but we know how that works. And Iran, and you got all this stuff going on. But the Bible says in Isaiah or in Ezekiel 38:39 that before the rapture takes place, this is going to happen. And it's going to be a very powerful thing. It's going to be a federation of nations. And Russia and Iran and China, all this is going to be there. They're going to go to attack Israel. But take part, because the Bible says, let me just, before I get carried away, some of y'all don't know the end of it. Let me just say this. Look, Ukraine is under attack from Russia. Taiwan is possibly going to be attacked by China. Israel is under attack by Hamas and Hezbollah. Hezbollah's got in it now. They're in Lebanon, and they are firing missiles over the border. So now they're involved heavily in this. And anti-Semitism is at a boiling point worldwide, even in the United States. There is students, and there's people marching and protesting, and they're saying things that's sad. Well, some of them are so like to stop the fighting. But that's one thing. But there's others saying fry the Jews or gas the Jews or Hitler was right. Now, this is crazy mess. But the Bible said that they would be hated of all nations, okay? So I'm going to take it a little bit further. And maybe, hopefully, this will give you a little bit of hope and peace in all this. And so now, again, turbulent times, you've got the Israeli flag, you got the Ukrainian flag, and you got our flag all intertwined together. So let's just look at what the Bible says. It all says in Luke 21:9-11, we're not going to be doing a lesson on this day per se, but I want to get started with this. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. But these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs in heaven. Let's just break this down a little bit. There's going to be wars and commotions. That word commotions means instability. It means a state of disorder. How many has noticed all this instability in the Middle East, even instability in the United States? The whole world is marked by instability. So in the end times, you're going to hear there's going to be wars, and there's going to be instability happening. And it says when you see these things, do not be terrorized or terrified. That word terrified means to be terrorized. What is Hamas? What is Hezbollah? What is Iran trying to do? Terrorize us. I see people now, their nerves are so shot. I'm talking about here. Their nerves are so shot that they can hardly even operate because of what they see going on. And we know, I believe Iran said, Hezbollah said that they have sleeper cells in the United States. And when they say the word, it's going to start here. So there's people that just tore up by all this going. So terrified. When you see these commotions, don't be terrified. You see, nation against nation. That's a really powerful thing because that word nation is ethnos, or we get the word ethnic. So ethnic group against ethnic group. What are the two main players in all of this, the ethnic group Israel. Okay? So you got Israel, and you got Iran, and you got Hezbollah, and you got Hamas. And so you got these ethnic groups that are against, they're all coming after Israel. So nation against nation, and says in Matthew 24, the Matthew version of this, all of these things are the beginning. I know you said, I come here to get uplifted today. You will be. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Meaning it's not going to get any better. Okay? You know, Tinkerbell's not going to come down and take their magic wand and do this, and it's all going to be gone. Because I've never seen this much aggression toward Israel worldwide as it is today. So it says it's the beginning of sorrows, but it also says something that's sharp and filled with fear. And filled with fear, and then my favorite part of all of this, it says, lift up your head. Everybody's hanging their head now, what's going on? Lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. The rapture's getting ready to. It's really, we're on prefaces of the rapture. Do it, coming in any time. Jesus is ready to come back. So, that should do some yes and no things, right? Yes, these are troubling times. Yes, yes, yes. How many say them all? Okay. Yes, these are troubling times. And no, there's little we can do about it. Really. So, because no, we can't do about it. But yes, God is still in control. Amen?
Amen.
And yes, we can live in fear and terror of what's coming. Here's where you come in. Watch. Or no, instead, I choose to trust God and live each day as His gift. Amen? I choose to live right now, here, right now. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. My wife texted me something yet last night. It was so hilarious. Then it got to be so powerful. And while I'm working with this, she sent me this text, says, life is like a helicopter. And then it said next, I don't know how to operate a helicopter. I was saying some profound thing. You know. Yeah. And so here's our troubling times. Now this is very important. I want you to think about this. But get ready. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Turn to Psalm 118, verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24. Everybody stand for the reading of God's word. We're gonna read it. We're gonna pray. Y'all can step back there. Somebody said, "Praise God!"
Praise God.
Ready? Verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Y'all say that with me. Ready? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. We thank you for the anointing that's in it, within the very words, Lord, the anointed power of the spoken word that's from the written word. I ask you right now, God, to let your Rama come alive in us today, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. And we know, God, that you got this. And we trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
Amen.
Now tell somebody, look, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing, nothing shall be impossible. Not even exceeding impossible. God is so good.
Yep.
Yes.
I know this is a little unorthodox, but this same scripture Jensen Franklin was preaching on this morning. This same scripture David Jeremiah was preaching on this morning.
Whoa.
Oh, I think God wants us to hear something.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Glory. God's laws, man. I get down to the crazy show. Not yet, but I'll see you in the past. Yeah, come on up here. I mean, I'll see you in the past amount. Don't pass them out yet. Hold on to them. We're getting ready to pass them out. All right. That's awesome. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Let me ask you a question. This is just not another day that we're in right now. Here's my question. I want you to think about this. When we get through with these questions, these guys are going to pass out something for you. I want you to put on your refrigerator. Matter of fact, I want you not just to put it in your refrigerator. I want you to make other copies of it. I want you to give it to your friends because it's very, very powerful. So, watch this. How many days, how many days have you wasted stressing over things out of your control? Don't raise your hand. Don't point. Quit pointing. How many days have you wasted this week? How many days have you wasted this month? How many days have you wasted this year? How many days have you wasted in your lifetime stressing over things out of your control? When you start stressing over things out of your control, then you start handing the keys over
to Satan. Could you know that?
So now watch this. Watch. You give the keys to Satan, you're giving him more credit than he deserves. We start blaming him. But not only blaming him, we start listening to him. So we're blaming some of the devil's faults. The devil says, well, you know, if you do this and this, this thing will get easier. Well, you know the reason this is happening is because this, and this, and blah, 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 blah. And so we wind up giving him today.
Y'all say today.
Today.
Giving him today. Never realizing that the God of the good days is still God in the bad days. Y'all guys pass these out. When I went to the fountain, when I first went there, it was right in the middle of race season, and it was crazy. Man, it was crazy. And there was people with me, and I started to face some problems, and people wouldn't even talk to me because they thought, when I come and asking them what was their responsibility, is they were going to get fired. I said, not getting fired. I just need to go to the lowest man so I can get the lowest man's opinion before I cry. We're working these problems at the top. Let's work at the bottom and solve these things. And people walk around in dazes. They walk around upset. And so the Lord gave me this. I wrote this and stuck it on my desk at Fountain. And I think about this all the time. I give it to the guys at the detention center, especially those guys in the heroin unit. Now, let's read this together. Defeat and fear cycle is a cycle of pattern or loss of defeat or captive to fear. Living in a bad place and unable to break the self-imposed, I'll say self-imposed change that continually holds back. It causes us to doubt ourselves and all those who would help us get past these chains. So here's your daily confession. I refuse, number one, to live by fear. Y'all say that. I refuse to live by fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you live by fear, you're dominated by the current situations based on real threats. It's a real threat over there in the Middle East. It's very much a real threat. It's a real threat that there can be sleeper cells in the United States. It's very much a real threat of all the things that's going on around us. But there's phobias. Phobias are unreal, exaggerated fear. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, insomuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasons and every proud and lofty thing that sets up itself against the true knowledge of God. We lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. This and that, you're dominated by surrounding situations based on unreal, exaggerated threat and fear. So we got real threats coming. But those threats have sent, now they have lit our phobias. And because it's lit our phobias, wow. You know, I do it a long time, and I do it too. You know, if you, all of a sudden Satan's popping you, he's trying to get something in your head, he's trying to get you to believe something, watch this. I'm going to tell you the fastest way. Ready? Y'all ready for this? Do this. Watch. Stop! That's part one. Stop! When that horse is going, stop! I said, stop! I'll tell you some more later, but that's how I started, man. Stop! Instead of, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. So, watch. Then there's anxiety. Lucas 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then we'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now you're dominated by future situations based on perceived threats. And then here's the biggie, paranoia. Paranoia, Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. It's dominated by current people perceptions and based on personal insecurities. I choose instead to go by Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep us in perfect peace, those who trust in you. So now, y'all take these and put these up somewhere. This is awesome. This is awesome stuff. It will help you get through some mighty rough days that are coming. You're not here by accident today. With my wife, I had no idea that David Jeremiah and Jensen Franklin were preaching the same thing. And so, I mean, God, I see God at work, and He's trying to tell us something. So we need to live in today, not yesterday, and not in tomorrow, but live in today. So, get ready. Again, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day that the Lord's made. Y'all say out loud, today.
Today.
Oh, get out. Today.
Today.
Act like you're pulling for your favorite team and they just scored a touchdown. Today.
Today.
All right. Now, if Satan's trying to talk to you and trying to get in your mind, what are you going to say?
Stop.
Stop. Well, get with it.
Stop.
One more time.
Stop.
Now, be careful when you do it around somebody, because they don't know it's coming to a spirit of death. I heard someone one time said they did that, and they were driving down the road, and a person driving the car went, It's not just another day. God's got His fingerprints all over this day. Just what my wife got up and said, you see, God has His fingerprints all over. Not only has God got His fingerprints all over it, God's got His fingerprints all over you. It is amazing what He has done. So don't let, look, you either determine your attitude today or somebody else will. Amen?
Amen.
You either determine it now or somebody else is going to determine it for you. So you have a choice to make, and the choice has to be clear. You know what? Look, here's what I tell people when they find themselves with anxious thoughts. I want them, again, this, I haven't planned on this, but we need to do this. If somebody's got it, look, here it is. If your mind, all you hear in your mind is shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, you're dwelling in the past. If it's what if, you're dwelling in the future. I cannot change the past. I'm going to learn from it. I cannot affect the future if I cannot get myself ready today. Besides, tomorrow may never come. Today is all we got. The time God promised you was the time it would take you right now to pick your foot up and put it in your coffin. That's how much time God promised us. Life is a vapor. This is the day that the Lord has made. And so when you find yourself being consumed by all this with Israel, all this with Russia and China and Iran and all this stuff going on down to all these warships from the United States are over there, and they are actively engaged, or they have not actively gone over and stepped on the shore, but they are actively engaged in helping knock down the stuff that's being sent in there in the air. Watch this. do this. I want y'all to repeat after me. Y'all repeat this after me. When your anxious thoughts are consuming you, after you say stop, here's what you say. Close up. That's just the beginning. Stop!
Stop! Stop!
I say this. Stop. I am here.
I'm here.
God is with me.
God is with me.
And I'm safe.
And I'm safe.
One more time. I am here.
Here.
God is with me.
And I'm safe.
I'm not looking over here at what it is, and I'm looking back over here at the shoes, what is, and then just breathe it through your nose and breathe out through your mouth and watch. And just like you watch because I'm good. So I'm breathing in God's peace. I'm getting rid of this thoughts. And watch what God can do. Okay, so now let's move a little bit further. We're trying to get through this. But look at the thing about it. Today we ain't got to beat the Baptist in the columns. We got to cross the street and get right over there, so we ain't got to beat anybody, so now we got this. So, you ready? Lamentations 3, 22 and 24, the message. God's little love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. Wow. That's powerful. So, God only gives you today, not tomorrow. And so, when you look at these things, watch this. The manna itself, the manna was for one day. If you stored that manna, if you couldn't collect more manna than you were supposed to in the wilderness, then if they went to open up the pot and get the manna that they got over what they needed, it would be rotted, maybe even have worms in it. But daily, it was nice, and it was fresh. What was God trying to tell those people in the wilderness when things were out of their control? Focus on the day at hand. Right now, don't focus. Look, you cannot focus in the Middle East. We're not there. You cannot focus in Russia and China. We're not there. You cannot focus in Iran or Israel. We're not there. We are here in the great big metropolis of Edward, North Carolina. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't think it was mentioned on the Weather Channel one time. I think it was. That made us high flights. So watch. You cannot focus on tomorrow or yesterday. So watch this. You can't get distracted with the failures of yesterday or get depressed. You can't get distracted with the worries of tomorrow. You'll be full of anxiety. Matthew 6:34 says in the message, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Wow. Very, very, very powerful. So God made this day. And he gave it especially for you. Living. Wow, that's a very powerful thought. You see, living this day, don't waste this 24 hours focusing on tomorrow's 24 hours because you may not even be here tomorrow or tomorrow may not even be here. So you don't worry about tomorrow. Oh, you got to think about things. Sure, you got to keep your mind on some things too. Don't get crazy and think, well, I ain't ever worried about anything else. No, don't worry about anything about it. Be concerned about all that stuff. I need to be concerned about right now, right here, okay? So now, God always has a plan, and God always has a purpose. Y'all say that. God always has a plan, and God always has a purpose. So now, get ready to close. I said get ready. Romans 8:28, New Living Translation. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For them, everything in each day is designed for you, which includes, watch this, the ups, the downs, the joys, the sorrows. All of that, God takes into account. He makes all these things work together. They all work together. We can't always have sugar plums every day. Matter of fact, all you ever get sunshine, you know what you want? Having yourself surrounded with, if all you ever get sunshine, you get surrounded by a desert. You gotta have some rain, you gotta have some ups, you gotta have some downs, you gotta have some sorrows. It makes you a complete person. When the path is smooth, when the path is deep, when the path is way beyond, God has promised us that he is involved in every aspect of that day. Say this out loud. He's already there.
He's already there.
He's already there.
He's already there.
He's already there. So watch this. Here we go. Well, 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think you're not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Peter is writing in Rome where the Christians are being crucified. Now that they're being crucified, they lie in the streets crucified, and then they're drenched in oil and set on fire. They became the streetlights of Rome. He's writing this piece. He's right to people who are facing things like that and looking at the lines. You know, we think we serve God and it's going to happen to us. You know, as long as we serve God, everything's going to be a hunky-dory. No, it's not! But we got somebody going through it with us. So everything isn't as designed for us. So watch this. Let's do this. First, there's the us. Psalm 44:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The downs. Psalm 42. He lifts me up out of a slimy pit. The joys. Now, the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. The sorrows, Psalm 43:5. Why cast down? Why be cast down? Put your hope in God. When the path is smooth, when the path is beaten, when the path is beyond, the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. That word path means to straighten out. Your own path straightened out so you go down. Malachi, I love this. I love this. When you're going through a trial, what you think about something? The Bible says in Malachi 3:3, well, of course, when the Israel was under attack, he said, he shall send as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge his gold and silver, that he may offer it to the Lord and offer it in righteousness. Y'all, some of y'all heard me tell this, some of you have. I'll be real quick about it. It says he was sent as a refiner by the fire. You understand what that means. When a refiner is sent by the fire with silver and gold, he takes the fire and he stokes it up. He's got a bellows under his foot. And it's got a metal tub or cast iron tub. And he puts the metal in it. And he fires it up and he fires it up and he fires it up until the metal starts boiling. And when the metal starts boiling, coming together and boiling, then he watches, and it starts boiling up. Then he lets off the gas, and lets it cool down a little bit. When it really cools down, somebody takes a ladle, and it takes all that junk and goop that bubbled up. He takes it, and he throws it to the side. Then he starts up the fire again. As he starts up the fire, he waits until stuff starts boiling, the gold or silver, precious metal. And as it's boiling, when it comes to a boiling point, it takes his foot off the throttle again. As it's cooling down, it takes the ladle, it takes off that nasty stuff that's coming out, the impurities that's coming out. And do you know when he knows when to stop? Is when he can see his reflection in that cold. So if you're in a trial today, instead of fighting God, say, God, I want you to be able to see your reflection in me. Wow. Very, very, very powerful. And again, I told you, get real close. This is the day which the Lord made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Watch this. Here it comes. I'm going to challenge you. Expect something good to happen today. How many guys want to say, well, here it is. It's Sunday. I'm going to go to church. I don't want to, but I'm going to make my wife happy or make my husband happy. I'm going to be there. You know, I remember one time, D.C., when he was a little bit, he was standing up. I said, sit down. He was doing this. I said, sit down. He threw that up there. I said, well, do I have to crawl across this thing? And so he sat down. I said, now what you got to say? He said, Daddy, I'm sitting down, but in my heart, I'm still standing. You're going to be here today and you're saying, well, something good is going to happen inside you. No, it's not. Because stop! I'm here, God's with me, and I'm safe. So, expect something good to happen today. I'm going to make it even more powerful. Go make something good happen today. You can make it happen. Don't just wait for it to happen. You're going to make it happen. He said, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. That word rejoice means to spin around under the influence. How long has it been since you've been so happy that you got giggly? How long has it been since you got so powerful in the Lord? You just said, man, this is so awesome. You just kind of riding on the breeze and said, man, this is so awesome. This is your day, and I'm not going to let anything take it away from you. Be glad means to cheer up. It means to change your attitude. Be glad. Get busy. Do something. Brand's blowing up here. We're getting ready. We're getting ready to show the end of this thing. Everything we see is going on now. There's signs that he's coming back. I'm going to issue a challenge for this week, and I want you to do this week. We're going to pray. Here's the challenge. How many understand that you were born? It's not a mistake that you're here. It's not a mistake that you're born and you're alive in 2023. It's not a mistake. God didn't go, oops, I slipped on him. I slipped on her. It's not a mistake. You were born for such a time as this. You'll be called. Take the stuff that you learn and go out and make a difference. Take stuff you learn other ways. Good stuff, go out and make the difference. So here's this week's challenge. Ready? Number one, be the good that you expect to see. Wow. You want your marriage to get better? Be the spouse that you want your spouse to be. You want your friendship to get better? Be the friend that you want your friend to be. You want your church to get more powerful? Then you speak more powerful than what you want to see. So look, be the good you expect to see that the world needs to see and that God designed you to be. How many realize this? God created you on purpose for a purpose.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I do. You know, the most creative time of a person, their entire life, is between birth and 5 years old. After five, your creativity is staunched and is held back. But up until 5 years old, that's the greatest time in a person's life for creativity. You know what happens at 5 years old? They go to school. When they go to school, they're talking about color in between his life. Creativity is staunched. It's stopped. I remember one time in art class in 8th grade, or 9th grade, maybe it was 9th grade, we were making this plaster in shoe boxes. And we got to do this, but it come out and it was hard. We were supposed to make statues. Take it and use the grinder and you just use the file maker. So I made this great little big face and like to come off a Gilligan's Island. And instead of putting on a piece of wood. And so I built the wood and I had a science teacher. I am holding my statue in my hand. I said, what can we do with it? And she said, varnish. That's okay. It's not varnish. Well, I got food. Everybody else was white. The whole class, mine was going to the farm. Mine was brain. And my friends looked at me and started laughing at me. Said, what's it there for? I said, she told me. Teacher comes and said, oh, no, Damon. I didn't need for you to varnish the statue. I want you to varnish the wood that's holding it. She said, but you know what? And everybody's laughing at me. And she said, that's the most creative statue in this room. And then she told me, she said, look, if it's okay with you, I want to put that in the showcase at Washington High School. And it stayed there talk crazy. Wow. And people kept trying to buy it. How many saw this morning's Body Army? This morning's Body Army. Very, very powerful if you think about it, by the army. Many times the wrong train to the right place. We make our plans, but God's going to have his purpose. So you were created on purpose, for purpose. Listen, you had a purpose before anybody else had an opinion. Ouch. That's an ouchie or a hallelujah, one or the other. You had a purpose before anybody had an opinion about you. God's got you. Yes, things are true and tough. We can't receive this place. But we just can't sit on the side and run with Christ to come and take us up in the skies. Because it's still like, look, this is the beginning. This is when we said, lift up your head because it's drawing near. Just like this is happening. So the day is that I've made for you. I want you, when you see these things happening, get ready. Because I am coming very soon. So, my question. Are you going to follow that challenge? Be the good you expect to be? Wait, Brandon, place my hands. The world needs to see. God designed you to think. Everybody stand up. Everybody close your eyes. Bow your ear. Nobody look around. God is so awesome. There's nobody that can do effectively and as good as what you were designed to do. There's the body of Christ. There's the hands, there's the feet, there's the legs, there's the head, there's the mouth, there's the ears. Every last one of us has a purpose in the body. Satan, especially right now, on the preface of the greatest event in history, the rapture, is trying to get us on brakes when we should be hitting the accelerator. God's got this. God's got it. I ride with the deputies sometimes. They have a tough job. And I remember that when Daniel came to him, I saw him cut up, beat up, shot at. And I said, God, this is not what I was bargaining for. I thought you said he's going to be a minister. And then the Lord gave me this verse. I made a bracelet for the guys. Romans 13:4. I am God's minister. It's not my word, it's God's word. Talk about law enforcement, military. Those guys over there right now in those ships. Romans 13:4. I am God's minister. I bear not the sword in vain. Guess what? Let's bring it down to earth right now. Every person in here, in some capacity, you are God's minister. And you bear not his sword in vain. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Live right now. Make something good happen today. Watch what God will do as you, instead of hitting the brake, hit the accelerator. And say, God, use me. Never hit by your ground close and ask a few questions. Number one, how many people here today would say, Pastor, I'm not where I should be, God. Either I've never been there, or I was there and I backed up, or I get backed up and I'm not sure where I'm at with him, but I'm not where I think I should be with God. Nobody looking around, every head bowed. Put your hand up. I'm not gonna make an example out of you. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. How many here would be bold and say, you know what, I've been hitting the brake because I'm really confused and I'm scared about what's going on overseas. And I'm not sure what's going on, what's going down. And I can't even live my life because of all this stuff. And I'm talking to you right now, nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Just put that hand up and say, I just stay so messed up with all these going around. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Well, maybe you're here today, and even apart from the stuff going on overseas, you find yourself that you've been hitting the brake, hitting the brake, hitting the brake, when you should have been hitting the accelerator. And you really forgot to do something, because this is the last day. Not the last days, this is the last hours, this is the last moments. And you want to be working for him when he comes. Say, look, once you raise your hands, I'm ready to take my foot off the brake and put it on the accelerator. Raise those hands. Bless them, Lord, bless them. We pray together. Father, I commit my life and my heart to you. You are the most awesome, most powerful God. Your grace and your mercy spans the universe. Lord, help me to be with you. I take my foot off the brake and put it on the accelerator. And I thank you, God, that something good is going to happen to me today, through me today, for me today, in the name of Jesus we pray. And church said,
amen.
Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. After we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Benny to not only dismiss us in prayer, but say the blessing. There's nothing worse than going over to homecoming and you got your plants all filled, you're sitting there and he gets called away waiting for some long-winded preacher to come along and say the blessing. So, we're going to go and say the blessing now. So you can go over there and feel free to go ahead and start eating. Okay, that'll be fine. So say the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother Benny, you dismiss us, and you say the prayer. Boom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you take fear out of our hearts and put in your strength, your wisdom, your courage for us to face everything that comes through day by day, week by week. For we know that you in charge, we will come out the other side, the victory. And Lord, as we go across the street, we ask that this food will nourish our bodies as your word nourishes our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.